Good morning. Today's daf and sukkah is Yud Ches. We are on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We are starting the Gemara, the about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud with the words Amar Abaye. Gemara starts off the following discussion. Avir Shlosha Basukkah Gedola Umi Ato. Again, let's just go over some very basics and some reminders. When it comes to disqualifying a sukkah, so if you have Avir, if you have a gap of airspace, so that's going to pass your sukkah if it is three tefachim. That three tefachim has to be a strip of airspace that cuts and bisects the sukkah. And if you have that, so that will disqualify the sukkah in that it will now bisect the sukkah into two parts. Assuming, of course, that you don't have a kasher sukkah on either side of the gap. But what that gap does is that it creates an interruption. It breaks up the sukkah. So that is avir begimel tefachim. Now, when it comes to schach paso, if I use any material other than that which is allowed for schach, what we describe as chach pasul, so that will be posted by four tefachim. Now, yesterday we just came off a machlokus between the abraim, whether it's dala tefachim or whether it's dala amos. But we're left for the balance of today's daf, and we're going to assume that the halacha goes that it's dala tefachim. So if I have four tefachim now of chach pasul, and again, same description, where it now goes ahead and it basically bisects the sukkah into two, so and neither side of the sukkah is a kasher sukkah. So once again, that's going to be a pasul sukkah. So what we're going to be describing is the following. So Amar Rabbi Avashusha b'sukkah gedola. So let's say it's a sukkah gedola. In a moment, we're just using that term to contrast it to a sukkah katana, which we're going to speak about in just a moment. But sukkah gedola just simply means it's a nice size sukkah. It's more than 7x7 tefachim. So so it's got three tefachim of airspace. So as it's currently situated right now, it's no good. Umiato. I'm sorry. Yud Ches Amud Aleph, 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. Umiato. And then what I did is now I reduced it. Now I didn't actually reduce it. What I did is I filled it in. I filled in that airspace. Now what did I fill in that airspace with? So I filled it in. It doesn't matter what I filled it in with. Kanim kasher schach, shpudim, metal rods, non kasher schach. Otherwise stated schach pasul. So have a miut. So that's going to be a miut. Now we have successfully reduced. How have we reduced? Because again, as we established in yesterday's daf, as we just introduced in today's daf, because the shear for avir and schach pasul are different shearim. So now the gap is three tefachim. If left as a gap as air, so then that's going to be a posel. But now that I filled it in, it doesn't matter what I filled it in with, because we know that the shear for schach pasul is four tefachim. This is less than four tefachim, and so therefore, if you filled it in with kanim, so it goes without saying, that's kasher schach. If I filled it in with schach pasul, it's also going to be fine because we haven't arrived at the shear of four tefachim. Good. That part is straightforward and totally workable. Besukkah katana, but now we get to contrast it with a sukkah katana. So besukkah katana, bekanim havimiyut, beshwinim lo havimiyut. So a sukkah katana, of course, is talking about the base minimum sukkah of 7x7 tefachim. And now I have an airspace of three tefachim. So here, it does not matter how you fill it in. It does matter how you fill it in. So if you fill in with kanim, so that again, it's kasher schach, so now you're good. That's a miut. However, bishputim lo have a miut, but if I filled in with non-kasher schach, so then that's not going to improve my sukkah. The sukkah will still be disqualified. Okay, now this obviously needs an explanation. Why should my sukkah be disqualified? Let's consider. The minimum shear of a sukkah is 7x7 tefachim. I have a gap of air of three tefachim, which in general would be a posel. In this case, would be a posel as well. So I filled it in. So if I filled in with schach, so it's good. We have now a kasher sukkah filled with schach from end to end. That's fine. If I filled it in with schach posel, it's no good. Why not? Meaning I have now my sukkah of seven tefachim, 7x7. I have now the majority of it with which has kasher schach, four by four. I understand if I talk about the square area, it doesn't properly represent the numbers, but you get the point though. So I filled it in with the majority of schach kasher, and now it just happens to be that three of the four tefachim are now filled in with schach pasul. Okay, but the majority is filled in with schach kasher, so why shouldn't it be fine? So Rashi over here writes, I'll tell you why it's not fine. Bishpudim lo have miut. I'm reading the Rashi inside. V'afagav de lo mizeh v'lo mizeh yeshir lipsol. Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't have a shir to disqualify, because again, it's only three tefachim of schach pasul, and meanwhile you need four. Miu kevin de'ika gimel tefachim b'hadadi. So Rashi says, but you can't ignore the significance of three tefachim in this particular case. Meaning it takes a total of seven to make a schach kasher. We have seven. Three of them are made up of schach pasul. So even though, right, and I'm just going to add to the Rashi, it really represents a minority. It's not the majority. Normally, under normal circumstances, we would say bittul, but over here, the slim advantage of 4 over 3 is not going to allow us to just simply ignore the 3. The 3 are going to be significant, even though it's filled in. It's still going to be significant, says Rashi. And it's not going to, create a tziruf. In order to get me to the proper shear of 7 by 7 tefachim. Meaning, or I'll just put it in other terms, when I'm trying to create a minimalist sukkah of 7 by 7 tefachim, so because we are right now at the very base minimum, I need all 7 tefachim to be filled in with schach kasher. If I don't have it filled in with all with schach kasher, so even though under normal circumstances we do favor the rov over the miut, but over here I need every part of the schach to be considered schach kasher. And so therefore, if I have 3 tefachim of schach pasul, it's not going to be good. Presumably, I'm only guessing right now, and I don't know if I'm right, presumably I would say that if it was 6 and 1, meaning 6 tefachim of schach kasher and 1 tefach of schach pasul, presumably would be the same thing as well. I'm not sure if I'm right about that. I could make an argument that specifically 3 is where it becomes too much to ignore, because 3 happens to be a shear for avir. That could be the case. So I'm not sure if I'm right about that point, but what we can say definitively what the Gemara says, and that is that if I have 3 tefachim, even though I filled it in with schach pasul, but it's not going to be a kasher sukkah. That we could say for sure. Okay. Now the hani mili, going back to the Gemara, continuing in the Gemara. So this idea now that when I have 3 tefachim and I fill it in, so now we, aside from a sukkah katana, which it's not going to work, but by a sukkah gadol it's going to work. The hani mili min atzad. That's only true if I filled it in from the side. Ava be'emtza pligi ba rev achav ravina. But if, let's say, it's be'emtza sukkah, so now we're going to have a debate. Chadamar yesh lavud be'emtza v'chadamar ein lavud be'emtza. A question as to whether or not we're going to be saying lavud in the center of the sukkah. And interestingly, now we're going to have a debate in the Gemara as to whether or not lavud can be said even in the middle of the sukkah. Middle of the sukkah, we're talking, of course, about the middle of the schach. So by the middle of the schach, whether or not we're going to be saying lavud is subject to a debate. Now, how could it possibly be a debate? Meaning, we all know about lavud. We were all introduced to lavud earlier in the Masechta. Lavud is a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. So over here, it makes a difference where we're going to be saying lavud, whether we're going to be saying on the side of the schach, adjacent to the wall, or whether we're talking about in the middle of the schach. Why should there be such a distinction? Let's put a bookmark in that question. In a moment, I'm going to answer that question, or at least attempt to answer that question. But meanwhile, let's see the machlokas. So the vabemtza pligi bar rav achav ravina chadam ar yeshlavet bemtza v'chadam ein lavet bemtza my time of the mandami yeshlavet bemtza. Now it happens to be the Gemara is going to introduce now the words my time. It sounds like the Gemara is going to give a svara. Okay, so between you and I, the Gemara is not going to be giving a svara. The Gemara is just going to be giving a raya, but not a svara. So, okay, so let's advance. What would be the svara? That when it comes to the schach, we're not going to say lavud. So the Ran over here, right, I'm not quoting it inside, but the Ran over here advances a svara. The svara would be like this. Look, we talked already a number of different halachas that apply to mechitzos. We talked about Dofen Akuma, we're going to be talking about later this morning, Pitikor Yorod Vesosim. We spoke about Lavud. So there are many halach l'moshe misinais. Now they apply specifically to a mechitza. You remember the Gemara we saw back on Dav Zayin when it comes to shiurim, chatzitzim, mechitza. So they all are halach l'moshe misinai. So over here, what we're looking at over here is a halach l'moshe misinai. But if you read the Gemara carefully over there back on Dav Zayin, what do we say? We say that it applies to mechitza. In other words, by mechitzas we have halach l'moshe misinai. When we're at the edge of the schach, we could judge that, we could gauge that as a mechitza. How do we do that? It's very simple. Because by the edge of the schach, we do have the right to say dofen akuma. So the edge of the schach can be viewed as dofen, as part of the wall. But once we've left now the edge of the schach, and now we're in the middle of the sukkah, so now we're in the center of the schach, so we're no longer in the realm of mechitza. We're now in the realm of schach. It could be, says the Ran, that's exactly the svara that he offers over here. It could be that once we're now not in the world of mechitza, but now we're in the realm of schach, so it could be that we don't say lavud over there. That would be a svara to suggest how we don't say lavud be'emtza haschach. Good. And then obviously if you're going to be on the other side of this discussion, so then you're going to say, what's the difference? In other words, if we're ready to say that a closed gap, any distance between that's under 3 tefachim, we're going to close the gap When it comes to the mechitza, we'll say the same thing also on the schach as well. Okay, good. So those could be the competing svaras. That's the run in our Gemara. So anyway, so the Gemara now, my timeline, the Gemara now is going to go over Raya's, meaning we're going to now show evidence based on other Mishnayos and other areas of halacha, whether or not we say lavud be'emtza. So first we're going to turn to a topic of Erevin. So my time at the man damiyish lavud be'emtza, the time you will enter the brisa, kara yosem ikosu zeveno nagash b'koso acher, v'chein shtei koros echad yosem ikosu zevechad yosem ikosu acher, v'eina noga zubazu pachus mishloshein etzarech lahavi kara acheres. Shosh etzarech lahavi kara acheres. Okay, so a mission Erevin, very basic. In other words, in a hava mavui, you want to carry in the mavui. So what do you need to carry in the mavui? You need tikkun mavui. Tikkun mavui, the topic of discussion in the first parak of the Masechta of Erevin. So tikkun mavui could be done in one of two ways, either with lechi or korah. So right now we're focusing on the korah. Korah is simply a beam, a horizontal beam, that goes from one end of the entrance of the mavui to the other end of the entrance of the mavui. And it's very simple. It's just simply a beam that has the minimum width of one tefach that goes from one end to the other end. Now, what happens if, let's say, it doesn't reach? So that's exactly what the Mishnah in Erevin describes. Well, it's very simple, says the Mishnah in Erevin. If it goes up to three tefachim, within three tefachim of the opposite wall, so you have lavud and it closes the gap. Let's say you have two beams that are meeting each other in the center, but don't touch each other as long as they're within three tefachim. So we're going to say lavud. So we just saw together that when it comes to Erevin and when it comes to the core of Erevin, even if afilu be'emtza, right in the middle, so we're ready to say lavud. So over here, it seems to be that we have a raya brura that we're ready to say lavud afilu be'emtza. Very good. V'idach, now, if you are on the opposing view, and you say that we're not saying lavud be'emtza, so what do you do with that Mishnah Erevin? The Mishnah Erevin couldn't be any clearer. So he says, v'idach shani koros the rabbanan. So he'll say to you, well, you're talking about korah, but when it comes to a mavui and tikkun mavui is a din de rabbanan. So by Dinei de Rabbanan, Rashi uses the language of Heim Amru veHeim Amru. Heim Asur veHeim Amru. Right? The Chachamim are the ones who innovated, legislated all the dinim of a Mavui. So under normal circumstances, there may not be Lavud Be'emtza, but when the Chachamim are the ones instituting, so they can allow for certain allowances, certain heterim. And this may be a heter that exists only within the realm of Erevin, because it's a Din de Rabbanan. Now, as much as I'm explaining the Gemara, defending the Gemara, on the other hand, generally speaking, when the Chachamim are Mesakein, they do so ke'ein da araisa. So over here, so you could make a counter-argument, the Gemara doesn't do this, but you could make a counter-argument, if it doesn't work minatara, so then it shouldn't work midrabanan as well. Okay, you can make that argument, but in defense of the position that you do not say lavud be'emtza, the Mishnah Erevin says that we do, so the Gemara says Erevin is a din derabanan. Don't bother me with Erevin. Okay, my time at demand arme in lavud be'emtza. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to go to another area in halacha where, once again, we're going to demonstrate how we do not say lavud be'emtza. Now we learned in the Mishnah. Aruba shebabayis. So you have a skylight in the house. Now, skylight over here means, right, it's literally a hole in the ceiling. So aruba shebabayis. So uba poseach tefach. So now it is one tefach by one tefach, meaning it's an opening. So tuma bebayis kulo tame masha keneged aruba tahor. Okay, so we're going to give two circumstances over here. Circumstance number one, scenario number one, is that there's tummy mace in the house, and we know how tummy mace behaves because we talk about this all the time, and that is the tuma mace is ole, goes up. Now, if it hits the roof, what's going to do is it's going to spread under the roof, and it's going to come down wherever the roof comes down. So that means that anything that shares the same roof as a mace is going to be tummy. This is what's called tumas ohel, right? Basics, ABCs. Now, let's say I have a kli that's directly under the aruba. So it will actually be spared from tuma. Why? Because the tuma that drops down from the ceiling is only going to be dropping where there's ceiling. Where there's no ceiling, the tuma is not going to come down. So if I have a kli that's directly under the skylight, so it just simply by its placement is going to be spared from the tuma. Okay, that's one scenario. Kenegat aruba, kolabais kolotahor. Second scenario is that the mace is under the skylight. Now the mace is under the skylight. Now what happens to the tuma? So the tuma doesn't catch the roof because the mace is directly under the skylight. So now what happens to the tuma? The tuma just simply goes right through the skylight. And now everything under the house now will be spared from the tuma because I no longer have ohel. There was no roof that captured the tuma of the mace. Okay. Now, Ein Baruva Posech Tefach. Now, this next part of the Mishnah, we don't, according to Rashi, we don't need the next part of this Mishnah right now. We've already made the point. The point is that we're talking about a skylight. It's a Tefach, which is obviously less than three Tefachim, and we're not ready to say Lavud. So we made the point already. But we're going to be quoting this next part of the Mishnah, and I admit, the next part of the Mishnah is going to be slightly confusing because the next part of the Mishnah sounds like we're contrasting it to a different scenario, and meanwhile, there's no contrast whatsoever. What happens now if the skylight is less than a tefach? So, ein baruba poseach tefach, so tumah b'mais keneged aruba tahor, tumah keneged aruba, kol abayis kolo tahor. Actually comes out to be the same result, in that even if the skylight is less than a tefach, so again, if I have a kli directly under that skylight, even though it's less than a tefach, but it's going to be spared from tumah. If the mace is under the skylight, even though the area of the skylight is less than a tefach, so the tumah's mace is just going to go directly through the skylight. So there really is no difference. And then you have to wonder, so then why is the Mishnah constructing in a way in which it sounds like, hey, there's going to be a difference whether the skylight is one tefach or less than a tefach. So Tosus over here, right, second Tosus on the Amud. So he says, in order to get more, so you got to go to the Mishnayos and Olos. We're in the 10th parak of Olos right now. So go weiter in the Mishnayos and Olos in the 10th parak, and you'll see the difference between what if there's one tefach versus what if the skylight is less than a tefach. And Tosus writes over here, why doesn't our Gemara quote more of the Mishnah? Because as far as we're concerned, we don't need more of the Mishnah. You look at the end of Tosus over here, V'hachin l'maisa l'kula sh'derecha Gemara l'katzer Mishnayos shal seder taharos. Look, these are Mishnayos and seder taharos. Derecha Gemara is to be makatzer, meaning we're not learning Taharos right now. We're learning Sukkah right now. So we're just quoting the part of the Mishnah that's relevant to our discussion.
The mace is directly under the skylight?
Yes.
Perfectly. There's no overhead.
Correct, correct, correct. So kol habayis kol hatahor v'idach. Okay, now, what have we just identified and seen clearly is that when it comes to the Mishnah Olos, so we don't say Lavud. You have an opening. That's one tefach. And we don't view it as closed. We view it as open. So we don't say Lavud. Afilu b'emtza. Even if it's right in the middle. So the Gemara says, Shani Hilchos Tuma, Dachi Gemir Lahu. So the Gemara says, okay, very good. So you did a great job showing me that we don't say Lavud. Where don't we say Lavud? We don't say Lavud by Hilchos Tuma. We're not talking about Hilchos Tuma right now. We're talking about Hilchos Sukkah. Meaning in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that Hilchos Sukkah and Hilchos Tuma are guided by the same principles. And the Gemara's answer is, no, they're not guided by the same principles. So good. So by Hilchos Tuma, you're going to tell me that we don't say Lavud. That's fine. But I don't necessarily will translate that over to Sukkah. Okay, two different topics and two different governing dynamics as it relates to Tuma as opposed to Sukkah.
So you're saying that Lavud doesn't apply to Moshe
Mitzinai. No, there is Lavud halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and it just happens to be that it's when it comes to Tuma Tahara, it's going to be different over there. We don't say Tuma's an exception. We don't say Lavud by Tuma. And over here, we do say Lavud. Okay. By Erevin, we did say Lavud over there by Erevin. By Sukkah, we're having a debate as to whether or not we're not going to say Lavud b'emtza. So right now, again, the halach l'moshe m'sinai may just apply to the walls. It may not apply to the schach. That would be the argument to make, if we're going to make the argument. Okay. So this topic now is left. In other words, the Gemara has opened the topic and awkwardly now closed the topic. In other words, the Gemara leaves it off as a machlokas. The Mishnah Erevin, that's a derabanan. The Mishnah in Olos, okay, that's Tumah Tahara. Separate topic of discussion. It may not have relevancy over here. And so the Gemara leaves us off with, do we say Lavud be'emtza Sukkah? So machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Okay, and presumably the Rambam says that there is Lavud be'emtza Sukkah. We would say Lavud. Okay, Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Okay, so now a couple psaks that are offered. One psak is a psak offered by Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, which is by Shenivchas. I have the house, the roof caves in. And again, like I've said already a number of times, so that's not good. But you take the negative and you turn it into a positive. Now the positive is, okay, good. The house is ruined, but now at least we have a Sukkah for 1 week a year. I'm sure your wife is going to be happy with that. I'm sure she'll love you, the positive spin that you put on it. She'll write, you're good. Yeah, you're right. Okay, good. So, Baisha Nevchas, Vestichecha Gabav, so he puts Chach on top of it, Kshera. So it would be a kosher sukkah. So I'm a lefaner v'yishmael. So I'm sorry. So before we get to the commentary, so he postens like what we saw. Now over here, he left the statement unqualified. Now that's not good. In other words, it's true that if you put schach on top, it would be a kosher sukkah. But you have to qualify. Meaning, how far is the schach away from the walls of the house? If they're right, if they're less than 4 amos, so then we say dofen akuma. If it's more than 4 amos, so we don't say dofen akuma. So he made the statement, but he didn't qualify the statement, and for that he's going to get criticized. And Amar Lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, "No, Rabbi Parish. So please, like, elaborate, like more. We need more over here. So
seven by seven,
huh?" The breach at minimum has to be 7 by 7. Correct. So, kach pirish abba. Arba amas psula pachos me arba amas kshera. Oh. Okay, right. And this is presumably it's Rabbi Shmuel talking. And he says, then look, my father explained to me that it really depends if it's, if the distance of the walls the difference of the remaining roof between the walls and the schach. So if it's 4 amos, that's no good because we no longer say dofen akuma. If it's less than 4 amos, so then we're fine. And what you needed to do as a posek, in other words, when you're announcing this halacha to people, so you have to tell them that there's going to be a difference, whether it's 4 or less than four amos. Okay. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. So now the next topic is going to have nothing to do with what we're discussing right now, but it's going to follow the same format. So this is how classically the Gemara works. So when you're following the same format, so it's gonna come along for the ride. So another psak that was broadcasted by Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. So darsh generally speaking means that he's speaking out to the masses, he's speaking to the public, and he's telling them the halacha. So darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, avruma sharya. So you're allowed to eat the avruma. Okay. So to you and I, obviously, we don't know what avruma is. It's an Aramaic word, and he says that it's mutter and. Right, if he were talking to us, obviously he would speak in the language that we speak. Okay, what is avruma? So it's a small fish, and now the fish itself seemingly is a kosher fish, but also swimming alongside the avruma are other aquatic animals that are not kosher. So when you are fishing, when you're netting for the avruma, so there is always this concern that there's going to be other aquatic animals that are not kosher. Okay, So he says that the avruma is fine. So sharya. So I'm a friend of Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. So once again, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi catches wind of what Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is doing. So he's giving a psak. He's giving a blanket psak that the avruma is okay. It's acceptable. And he says, Rabbi Parish. And Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, we need more out of you. Meaning you can't just simply say that psak and let it go unspecified. You need more specification. There's more details. So kach amar abba. So and my father told me. So shalmakom ploni asur, shalmakom ploni muteris. It depends where you're getting the avruma from. Meaning that there are some water sources where the avruma comes by itself with no other foreign fish that's mixed in with it. And then when you go to other locations, other water sources, so then the avruma is not okay because it has coming along with it aquatic animals that are not kosher.
Are they reliant?
We'll see. Well, let's wait for just a moment. The Gemara is going to help us understand this a little bit better in terms of why water sourcing is important. So, ki hadamar Rabbi, the Gemara says this conforms to what Rabbi taught us. Haitzachanta debavna harisharye. So, Rabbi says that, look, when you go fishing in the river Bav, the name of the river, Bez. Okay. So, and you pick up the tzachanta, and presumably tzachanta of Rumor are one and the same. I'm not sure about that. Doesn't matter. But anyway, so you're picking up the tzachanta fish over there, you're fine. Now again, the tzachanta fish in of itself is a kosher fish, but along with the tzachanta, once again, you have these very small aquatic animals that are not kosher, right? They're shellfish, whatever the case is, right? They're just simply not kosher. But when you go for the tzachanta in the Bav River, so you're going to be fine. Okay, so just like Abai explained that in certain water sources, we know that it only exclusively has kosher fish. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai was trying to say. But again, he wasn't specific, and that's why he got criticized by Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. You can't just leave that question, leave the statement unqualified. You have to qualify the statement, like we're doing right now. Now, to the question of, there are certain water sources that only produce kosher fish. Like, what is that? So it sounds like Gan Eden. So the Gemara says, my time, Mishum Deridife Maya. So the Gemara over here is going to try and a couple of reasons why it would be that certain currents only are able to produce kosher fish and non-kosher fish do not thrive there. So the first, the Gemara says, well, maybe it has to do with strength of current. Maybe this this river is a really strong current. So the Gemara says that maybe when it comes to non-kosher fish typically don't have vertebrae, and not typically, they do not. I understand the simanim of a kosher fish is that it has fins and scales, but it happens to also be that non-kosher fish will not have vertebrae. So it could be that they don't have vertebrae, and therefore the current is too strong, and they just simply cannot exist in such a strong current. So the Gemara says, that's a lovely theory. It just happens to be not true. So the Gemara says, v'haka chazina dekai. The Gemara says, look, you can't argue with empiricism. Meaning, I'm looking at that river, and I see that there are non-kosher fish that are able to exist, even in such a strong current. So it's a great theory. Just, in other words, practically speaking, it's not correct. So elamishum demalichimai. Oh, so the Gemara says, well, maybe it has to do with the salt content of the water. Okay, now, if they're talking about rivers over here, in other words, generally speaking, we're talking about fresh water. Okay, could be. Yeah, could be. Look, here in Florida, in other words, it literally depends on where, which part of the state you're in, whether it's fresh water or salt water. Okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. Point is that maybe it's salt water and the high dog tummy kevin delays like klipe lo matzikai. And you know, these non-kosher fish, so they don't have scales. And so maybe they just simply can't exist within the salt water. The salt concentration is too high. The Gemara says, again, a lovely theory, but once again, empiricism is going to rule the day. I'm looking at these bodies of salt water, and I see the non-kosher fish. So again, lovely theory. It's just not true. It's not correct. So So the Gemara says, okay, it just happens to be that this particular river, the Bav River, so because of its soil, and I'm sure other natural factors, but the Gemara over here is really focusing on the soil. But because of the soil, it just simply only is a fertile breeding ground for kosher fish, not for non-kosher fish. Okay, it could just be as simple as that. Okay, anyway, the Gemara has a Masora that when you're fishing in the Bav River, so and you pick up the Sachanta or the Avruma, whatever it's called, so it's a kosher fish, and you do not need to be concerned that the net also caught some non-kosher fish as well. Good. The Gemara has an end note to this whole discussion. Am Ravina va'ina deshavchinar esam v'nar gamda lahasam asira. So Ravina says, look, it happens to be that nowadays, so we rerouted a number of rivers. We rerouted some rivers, two is actually the Gemara specific. The Esan River, the Gamda River, and they got routed now into the Bav River. And now the Bav River once upon a time was a pristine and kosher environment. And now, because these other rivers got rerouted there, so you're going to find some non-kosher fish, and therefore, you can't just simply assume that you picked up the Avruma, the Tzachanta, and now you're comfortable, and there's no non-kosher fish anymore. So you can't assume that anymore. Okay, and end note to the whole discussion.
This was nothing to do with
Sukkah. Zero. Zero. It came in. I'm sure there is. I couldn't articulate. No, but it comes in over here as a result of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yochai made the psak and he didn't specify, and he got criticized by Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi for not specifying and for not detailing. Okay, you could be right. I wouldn't know. Okay, Itmar, we continue. The Gemara is on, we're on Yerches Amad Alf, we are mostly at the bottom, two lines from the bottom. Okay, and now we're going to be starting our next really big topic, and that's going to be the topic of Pitikra Yorid Visosim. So let's introduce. I believe it's the first time in the Masechta that we're touching on this topic. I'm pretty sure. And so it requires a bit of an introduction. Okay, in terms of Mechitza, so we talk about fictional walls all the time, right? That's been a lot of our discussion over here in the first parak of Sukkah, which makes sense. We're winding down to the end of the first parak of the Masechta. The parak is going to end on Daf Chaf. And so now, as we are winding down, so we pretty much got a handle on many of the halacha, Lomosh Misinai, as it relates to walls, and the fact that the halacha allows for a legal fiction in which walls can just simply be there even though they're not there. Okay, so principally, we've spoken about Gudach is Gudasik, walls ascending and walls descending. meaning once I have the beginning of a physical wall, so then the wall will go up. That's called Gerasik. Or the wall will go down, Gerachis. Okay, we also saw a controversy in terms of Mechitza Teluya. How prepared are we to look at the walls coming down? Some are very prepared, some are less than prepared. We also spoke about Lavud. The idea behind Lavud is that if I have a gap of less than three tfachim, so the halacha allows me to view it as if it's closed in. Good. That's another legal fiction as it relates to mechitzas. That means that I can have just simply bars and beams within three tfachim one of another, and that's a wall. Halachically, that's a wall. Okay, that's called Lavud. We also touched on the idea of Dofen Akuma, the idea that a wall can make a left-hand turn. It can make a perpendicular turn, and that will still be considered part and parcel of the wall. Okay, good. So there are many different areas within halacha in which we talk about halachic fiction as it relates to walls. Now, what we get to introduce is to another concept, another principle of halachic fiction that's called Pitikur Yorod Visosin. Interestingly enough, oddly enough, right, that when the Gemara on Daf Zayin introduced us to the idea of Mechitzas Ar Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, so Pitikur Yorod Visosin did not come up as an example. So it's interesting how it is one of the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, but exactly how it operates and the extent of its operation, so it is subject to a major debate. It happens to be that today's Daf, Rashi and Tosfos have a major debate in terms of the scope of Pitikur Yorod Visosin. So unfortunately, I'll tell you right now, we won't be able to really cover well the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, even though it is in today's Daf. But if you want to, if you want to take a much deeper dive into today's Daf, so you'll see the Tosfos on the top of the Amud Beis, where there, it actually starts on the Amud Aleph. It's the Tosfos begins on Yudches Amud Aleph and goes well into Yudches Amud Beis, and Tosfos over there is having a major debate with Rashi in terms of the scope of Pitikur Yorod Visosin. Okay, so and I know in advance that we're just simply not going to cover it. Okay, apologies in advance. But in the meantime, however, let's at least scratch the surface. Let's familiarize ourselves with the basic idea. Basically, the edge of the roof is going to shoot down. Now, you need the edge of the roof. You need the edge itself to be a tefach. But let's say, for example, if we just use this table as just a model. Now, the side of this table over here is not a tefach. It's much less than a tefach, right? It's about an inch. But in other words, but if the edge of the roof, let's say, has a face of a tefach, so pi tikra yored v'sosein. So now what we're going to say is that the edge now is able to come down, drop down, and create a mechitza, and be able to create a wall. Okay, that's the concept of pi tikra yored v'sosein. So now the Gemara is going to be having a discussion, a debate within this principle of pi tikra. We are on the very bottom of Yudches Amud Aleph. Itmar, sich. Excellent question. Tosos does touch on your question. Okay, but he wants to know if whether Gedim Bokenbo is going to have any effect or influence on Pitikur Yorod Visosin. And Mitch, the truth of the matter is that the Gemara is not going to use that expression the way you're using it, but effectively the Gemara is going to make your point. We'll get to that in just a moment. Okay, we start on the bottom of Yudches Amud Aleph Itmar, Sichech Agabe Achsadra. So let's say I put Schach on top of my Achsadra Sheesh La Pitzimim Kshera. Okay, so again, let's paint the picture over here. If you have a picture over here, it's really recommended. It's very helpful. So once again, I have my courtyard, which is U-shaped. It's surrounded by three walls. But now the courtyard has got a ledge going on all three sides. Now, we said already that if that ledge extends less than four amos, so we have Dofen Akuma, and we are good to go. You could just simply lay a schach on top of it, and you have a kasher sukkah, right? Dofen Akuma will tell me that the walls of the house, even though they're exterior walls, but they will serve as the walls for my sukkah, and we're fine. We are describing right now where the ledge is more than four amos. So we have now lost on our Dofen Akuma. Okay, but now, excuse me, despite the fact that we lost on our Dofen Akuma, we're now going to be describing other ways in which this sukkah could be a kasher sukkah. So number one, pitzimim. And that is that I've got poles. I got one pole after another pole. Each pole is now going to be holding up the balcony. And because they're within three tefachim of one another, so Lavud now tells me that there really are walls. Halachically, they're walls. And so if I have pitzimim, so now we have a kasher sukkah. Yeah. The walls are going to be the pitzimim. That's really good, and that's really straightforward. And there's nothing to discuss or debate over there. So sichecha gabe achsarja sheish la pitzimim ksheira. So it would be kosher under those circumstances. That's the easy part. Now we get to the more difficult part, and that is she'en la pitzimim. So let's say now it does not have the poles. Okay, so this balcony right now that's being held up by, I have no idea what's holding it up. So it doesn't sound like it's great engineering, but again, I'm not the engineer, so I'm just going to comment on the halacha. And that is that right now it's more than 4 amas away from the wall. It doesn't have the poles holding it up. So now I put schach on top of it, right, in the center of my courtyard. So now would it be a kosher sukkah? So it happens to be a debate. So Abai Amar Ksheira, Ava Amar Psula. So Abai says it's a good sukkah, and Rava says it's not a good sukkah. Abai Amar Ksheira, as now we turn to the top of the Amud Bay, so Abai will tell you that it is in fact a good sukkah. And why would it be a good sukkah? Because I mean, in Pitikra Yod Visosim. Because we're going to be able to say the principal Pitikra Yod Visosim. We're assuming right now that the edge of the balcony is a tefach. And since the edge of the balcony is a tefach, so this idea, this principle, Pitikra Yod Visosim, tells me now that we have now legal walls that are coming down at the edge of each of the edges of the balcony. And now we are circumscribed by walls. And you don't see the walls, but nevertheless they're there. That's Pitikra Yod Visosim. They're fictional walls, but they're there. I'm sorry, just give me a moment. Let me just first, let's first cover a little bit, and then I for sure will pause and I'll take questions. Now, Rashi over here writes, and this is now where we're going to touch on the controversy of Rashi and Tosfos, but that's all we're going to do. We're not going to delve into it. Rashi over here says that we're ready to say Pitikra V'yoseid, Mikol Sad. Look at that top Rashi over there on the Amud Beis. Rashi over here has no limit whatsoever in terms of how many times we're ready to say Pitikra V'yoseid. And the truth of the matter is that our Gemara, at face value, is saying exactly that. Meaning Rashi does not seem to be giving a radical pshat in our Gemara. Rashi seems to be giving what is the simple way to read our Gemara. Meaning that you have the balcony, and the balcony is circumscribed on all three sides. And right now, you don't have Dofen Akuma, and you don't have the Pitzimim. So what's now creating the wall? So Pitikra is creating the wall on all three sides. That's the way Rashi says it. And seemingly, that's the easiest way to read our Gemara over here. Now, again, the length of Tosfos over here is really explained by the fact that Tosfos does not like this idea that we're ready to say Pitikra Yod Visosim on all three sides. Tosfos over here is of the opinion that we will only say Pitikra Yod Visosim on one side, and that's it. Okay, how does Tosfos arrive at that conclusion? So for that, you need to know the Gemara in Erevin, and there's a lot to go over in order to arrive at Tosfos' conclusion. And as a result of Tosfos' conclusion, he's got to significantly reread our Gemara over here. So this is now where I'm going to jump ship on Tosfos. I'm not going to do Tosfos anymore. But you should know that Rashi's position that we'll say Pitikra Yod Visosim on all sides, which he'll say here, he'll say in the Gemara in Erevin. So it is a controversial position. Okay, but we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Good. So Pitikra Yod Visosim. So that's the opinion of Abaye, in which he's ready to say Pitikra. Rava Amar Psula, I mean Pitikra Yod Visosim. And Rava says, no, we don't say Pitikra Yod Visosim under these circumstances. Okay. So Amale Rava La Abaye Leditcha Damar Pitikra Yod Visosim Afilu Hiv Chizdofen Emtsai. So now Rava says to Abaye, really, so interesting. So you subscribe to this idea of Pitikra Yod Visosim. Can I ask you a question? Let's say I have a sukkah. Sukkah only has two walls, and they're the two parallel walls. And right, it's not the perpendicular, but the two walls now are facing one another. Now it happens to be that this sukkah has a frame, and the frame, the frame which obviously extends on the two open sides, is at least a tefach. So now, according to you, Abaye, this is Rava's challenge to Abaye. So you should be comfortable with that sukkah. The sukkah that only has two walls, but because the frame is a tefach, so therefore Pitikra will tell me that halachically now we have walls dropping on both sides. And you're comfortable with that? Now, when Rav is attacking Abai, he knows that Abai is not comfortable with such a sukkah. But in other words, the question now, it begs, it's a really strong question. Once you are subscribing to Pitikra, Yod Visosim, so the sukkah mafula should be a good sukkah, right? So, Abai defends himself. Amar le modina lach ba'ahid ahavalei kamavi amafulash. So Abai says, no, even I have my limits. Meaning, I'm not ready to say Pitikra Yod Visosim under all circumstances. The sukkah mafulash, the mavui mafulash that you're just describing over there, there's so much traffic that's going through, it's literally a thoroughfare. People are walking through that. Now, again, we don't really have enough context over here. In other words, we're not given enough information, but the assumption is that this sukkah is a bit of a thoroughfare. And so because people are walking through, so halacha does not allow us to say Pitikra Yod Visosim. So that's Abaye's defense. So what we get over here clearly is this idea that even the subscribers of Pitikur Yorod Visosim, like Abaye, are going to have significant limits of how far they're going to go with the concept of Pitikur Yorod Visosim. Meaning traffic is going to be, when I say traffic, I just simply mean, you know, people walking through. So traffic is going to be negating Pitikur Yorod Visosim. So even according to Abaye, who's a subscriber, even he acknowledges, he recognizes that it's a legal fiction, but not as strong as something like Lovud or Dofen Akuma or even Good Asik, where there we really don't have much qualifiers. Over here by Pitikra, even Abaye has a qualifier over here. And this what you raised a couple of moments earlier, Mitch, about Gedim Bokimbo, right? If goats are able to go through. So and it doesn't, in other words, and it's unobstructed traffic. So again, Abaye doesn't use exactly that language, but it's a similar type of idea that once you see people just freely walking through, so you cannot say Pitikra under those circumstances. And what you would have to argue, and clearly this is what Abaye is arguing, is that in our scenario over here in the U-shaped courtyard, so people are not freely walking through, meaning it's not an area where it's a thoroughfare, and so. Okay. Understood. Okay, good. So Abaye would say that under those circumstances, it would be fine. Let's go a little bit further today. Lema Abaye v'Rava b'plukta d'Rav v'Shmuel k'miflegi. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we've just introduced ourselves to machlokes between Abaye and Rava as to whether or not we're ready to say Pitikra Yor v'Sosim. Abaye is comfortable. Rava is not comfortable. And presumably this machlokes Abaye and Rava is going to parallel the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What machlokes Rav and Shmuel did mar? Achsadra bibika. So let's say you have now an achsadra and it's in a valley. So what are we describing over here? Again, if you have a picture to look at, it's really helpful. It's the way we're describing it right now. It's basically you put four posts down. It's got a roof over the top of it. It's got a frame. It's a pavilion. It's basically a very simple square pavilion. No walls on it whatsoever. And so now, are we looking at a Rishus HaYachid? Am I allowed to carry in it on Shabbos? So Rav Amar Mutar L'Talta B'Kulo, Darmin Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim. So Rav says, sure, you can carry. Where is the enclosure? The enclosure is the concept of Pitikra. The roof is going to be coming down. The frame of the roof is now a tefach wide at its face, and therefore it's allowed to come down. That's a Pitikra Yorod V'Sosim. On all four sides. Again, this is now consistent with Rashi in that we're ready to say Pitikra even on all four sides. And Ushmol Amar Eimataltim Bo Ella Bedal Amos. And Shmuel says, no, it's not a Rishus HaYachid. You can't carry freely in the entire area. Okay, you can carry four Amos, but the truth of the matter is you can carry four Amos anywhere. Within four Amos, I should say. But you can't carry more than that because it does not have Rishus HaYachid. The Lo Amrin Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim, because Shmuel says that we do not subscribe it. So now what comes out over here is that this machlokas between Abaye and Rava is really one and the same machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. And it seems to be that we've made a perfect shidduch between the two. Okay, that's what it seems to be. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Ali b'de Shmuel koleam lo pligi. So within Shmuel's position, so yeah, you're right. Meaning Shmuel says that that you cannot carry because we do not say Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim. So Abaye and Rava will not argue as to what is Shmuel's position. Meaning, okay, there's no way to reinterpret Shmuel's position. He's not ready to say it over there. He's not ready to say Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim. So that part's clear and that part is unequivocal. However, Ki Pligas, we now turn to the topic of Testament Aleph, but however, where there is room to maneuver, it is within Shitas Rav. Well, how can there be any kind of room to maneuver within Shitas Rav? So Ki Pligas, Liba de Rav, Abaye Karav, so Abaye will tell you, what do you mean? Rav's with me, or I'm with Rav, right? Abaye came a couple generations later. But regardless, in other words, he subscribes to Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim, I subscribe to Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim, we're on the same page. And Rava, and what Rava will tell you is the following. Amalacha, I'll tell you, Ad kan lo kama Rav, hasam ela de mechitzos la'achsadru hu Davide. Yeah. So over there, Rav will subscribe to Pitikur Yorod V'Sosim. That's the case of the achsadra bibika. So over there, he's comfortable saying that the walls are going to drop down. Why? Because again, let's think about what we're describing. We're talking about a pavilion. Now, why did you build the pavilion? You built it to be inside. So those walls, even though they're fictional walls, but they were designed for the interior. So the idea that the walls now are going to drop down in order to enclose the interior space, perfect. That's why you built the Achsadra. It was designed for its interior. Now let's contrast that to the balcony. You see, in the case of the balcony, those walls were not designed for the interior. In other words, we're talking about the exterior of the house. Now, just a couple of days ago, we talked about how, okay, so for Dofen Akuma, it doesn't matter whether it's for the interior or for the exterior. That was the Chiddush. But over here, we're talking about a concept that's just a little bit more tenuous. We're talking about Pitikra. So what Rava will tell you is that Rav's position of Pitikra is true when it was designed for the interior. Avahacha, but over here, as we go back to the Gemara, the Lav Lahachi Avidilo, but over here, when it comes to the balconies, so the case of the balconies, those balconies were not designed for the interior of the courtyard. Those balconies were designed to be underneath the balcony. They were in the direction of the house. So now we're going in the other direction. So under those circumstances, we're not as comfortable to say, Pitikra Yorvisosim. So that is Rav's argument to say that even if we do subscribe to Rav, that would be specific to the case of Achsadra Bibika, but not necessarily our case over here. Yes, Dofen Akuma is telling me that I'm allowed to look at the beginnings of the ceiling as part of the wall. That's Dofen Akuma. In other words, and I have physical structure over there. The halachic maneuver over there is just simply to say that it is wall, even though it's going in a horizontal direction. That's Dofen Akuma. There is a wall there. Pitikra is telling me that if I have the edge of a roof, so then halacha allows me to look at it as if it's dropping down and descending. There's no wall there. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Okay. All right. So let's quickly recap our day today. Okay. We started off with a discussion of whether or not we say lavad be'emtza machlokas amarayim, whether we say lavad be'emtza aschach. So one position is that we do say it. The other position is that we don't. We quoted the Ran in terms of why there would even be a svar to say that we don't say betoch aschach. Good. We said a svara. Meanwhile, the Gemara left that off as a machlokas. We quoted a Mishnah in Erev, we quoted a Mishnah in Oalos. In terms of, there seems to be conflicting rayas as to whether or not we do say lavad be'emtza. Okay, and the Gemara ends up not coming to a definitive position. Erev is a din derabanan. But Oalos has to do with Tumah Tahara. Neither relevant to our discussion over here. Good. And the Gemara leaves it off. Two psakim. Yeah, that we do say love of Bamsa, yes. Okay. Two psukim that are offered by Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, one having to do with Dofen Akuma, the other one having to do with the consumption of the Avruma fish. Okay, in both cases, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi criticized him for not being more detailed in the psak that he issued to the public. And then our last topic of discussion today was Pitikra Yor Visosem, in which what we discussed is that if I have an edge of a roof and the edge of the roof now is able to come down, drop down, and create a fictional wall, so this is subject to a debate. It's a debate between Abai and Rava, and it's also a debate between Rav and Shmuel by Erevin, by Rishus HaYachid. And so how do they intersect? So the easiest way to say it is that they just simply intersect, meaning they run parallel one with another. Abai, who subscribes to Pitikra Yor V'Sosim over here, subscribes to Rav. And Rava, who rejects Pitikra Yor V'Sosim over here, will subscribe to the sheet of Shmuel. That's the easy way to say it. The Gemara says, okay, but there's a fancier way to say it. And that is that even Rava over here could really subscribe to Rav. Rav, who's comfortable with Pitikra Yor V'Sosim, is talking about where it was designed for the interior, and Pitikra is servicing the interior. However, in our case in Sukkah over here by the pavilion, by the courtyard, it is not intended for the center of the courtyard. The Pitikra was intended for the direction of the house, and so therefore even Rav would not say Pitikra Yor V'Sosim in this circumstance over here.